Proverbs, and we'll be in Proverbs tonight. I don't think we'll be anywhere else but the book of Proverbs. And so Proverbs is where we will be, and we'll be beginning in chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. And so grab a Bible, and I think Miss Wilma's going to take the three youngest girls out. Is that right? So Haley and is it Lily? Lily and Haley and Aaliyah. I went on a date with Aaliyah. Aaliyah and I went to Armadillo's today and had ice cream. And she told me I was handsome, so I'm going to take her on another date. I've already decided. Yep. But Lily, Aaliyah, and Harmony, and Miss Wilma. All right. Miss Wilma was on the date with me, too, just so you know. All right. Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. I'm listening to those guys back there instead of listening to my own words. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I didn't really want to tell you this story because it's private and it's not really, but sometimes pastors have to be kind of transparent in order to get the illustration across. So I'll go ahead and tell it. Brother Perkins and I went to Scotts Bluff on Monday night, and we sat in the youth program and then in the church service and the tent. And afterwards, when we're all done, we didn't sit together. I sat with Mr. Dave and Mr. Brother Perkins sat with at least one of my boys or sat closer to them. And so then afterwards, I was walking by and I saw Brother Bill talking to his son Andrew, and it looked like they were having a serious conversation. So I didn't butt in. So then I started talking to somebody, and in fact it was Abigail because she was there. Just talking with the girls for a little bit, and I looked over and I saw that Brother Bill was now talking to one of my sons. I got two of them down there, and it looked like a pretty serious conversation as well, and like nose to nose, 6 inches apart. So when that was all done, I was going to talk to my son, you know, what's going on, what's that all about? And before I could even get to my son, Brother Bill said, I had a talk with your son. I wasn't appreciative of how my son or he was acting tonight and doing this, this, and this. Now, just so you know, we're not talking about, you know, swinging chains or drinking alcohol in the back of the, you know, we're just a less than expected behavior, okay? And I know you can do better, and I expect more out of you. So then I talked to my son, and at first he was like, "Well, I didn't realize." And I said, "Hold it! You are here to be a blessing to this church, to be a blessing to Brother Bill. You are not." And I said, "And I don't know what all this is about, but he's not happy about something. Okay, there's something he's not happy about." My guess was. Is that he wasn't getting as much out of his own son as he normally does because mine was actually being a distraction in some way. And I said, and I think that's probably what you need to do is work on that. But when I talked to Brother Bill, you know, he talked to me. He said, I had to talk to your son because this is not good, and I'm going to have to ream my kids out when we get back to the trailer. And I said, well, you want me to take mine home? And he said, no. He said, I just want to deal with it. I just wanted them to get their act straight. Now, I tell you that because I think it leads into what I want to talk about tonight, okay? So let's go here first in Proverbs. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You know, somewhere along the lines, kids have the attitude that if you're corrected by an adult, they don't like you. Can I tell you this? If you're corrected by an adult, they probably do like you. Now, if you're yelled at or beaten, and it's just because you're obnoxious to them, and so they want you to, you know, be quiet because that might be different. Maybe they're just being selfishly rude and saying, you know. But if they're correcting you and you stop and think about it, Harmony, if they're saying, and I'm not saying Harmony needs this, I just saw that she was looking at something. When you stop and think about it, you realize, well, why would they have said something? They must have a desire to help me, all right? There must be a bigger picture here than just me. And that's the number one problem is we all have a tendency to be self-centered. Our universe revolves around us, okay? And you know, the universe, it revolves around the Lord. Did you know that? I know it's hard to believe, but the universe actually revolves around God. And if we would get where he is and see everything from his perspective instead of our own, it would change the way we think about things. Let me tell you something. The Bible says right there that God chastens, God spanks and chastens those that he loves. And so if you're being chastised by God, praise God for it. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, because we've talked about it, that part of the reason why Mr. Larry Matheson, our friend back there, came to the Lord is because God allowed him to lose some of the things he's always had most of his life, and that was good physical condition. But you know what? If that's what it takes for Larry to say, you know what? I am not all that in a ham sandwich anymore. I'm not what I used to be. If that's what it takes, then God was being good to Larry. Wonderful grace of Jesus. We have to remember that. I don't understand what. Look, if God allowed you to have everything you wanted, you probably would never come to him. So understand how good God is to us when he's not good to us. Okay? So we've lost it with parenting. Parenting is so bad because people don't know God. People don't see how God parents. If you like the way I parent, I learned it from God. I learned it from my parents who learned it from God. I learned it from my pastors who learned it from God. So you want to be a really good parent, find out how God does it. Watch how he does it. And that word chastening, it means spank. That's what it means. Whom the Lord loves, he spanks. Now, it doesn't mean beat and, you know, bloody, but spanking, and we've talked about that before. Now, secondly, I want to say this. A wise person accepts and benefits from correction. The Bible tells us that a wise person, go to chapter 15. This is all Proverbs, okay? This is why it's so good to read Proverbs. Because the more you read Proverbs, the more you will understand. Before I was ever a parent, when I was still a teenager, I was reading Proverbs. And I tell you what, you keep reading Proverbs, there's just lots of wisdom in there. And Proverbs chapter 15, it says this in verse 31, 32. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Let me tell you something. My son was getting reproved Monday night. You know something? We need to be reproved. If you think you've graduated from being reproved, you probably really need reproved, okay? We all need reproof. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It's what we need. It's what we've got to have. Correction increases wisdom and knowledge. I've told you before, some of you have heard the story, and I'm not going to rehash it, about my battle with Caleb when he was about 2 years old. Listen, I am not a civil engineer. I don't have the brain of a civil engineer, all right? I am not a super, you know, eloquent or educated person. But what my wife and I passed on to our son, who is a civil engineer, was discipline, correction. And the Bible says, if you are corrected and you receive it, you'll increase in wisdom and knowledge. You're actually doing your kids a favor because they'll increase in wisdom and knowledge. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I parented my sons, my kids, way more than my parents. I mean, my parents were still learning it, you know what I mean? I mean, I was kind of the guinea pig. Wait a minute, we didn't do that quite right, you know? But I've learned, because I'm a second generation Christian and now passing it on to my children, I knew my attitude when I was a teenager. I knew the sneakiness and the fake and the how to get by, so I knew how to watch for it because I knew what it was like, you know, and I have better understanding. And what I passed on to my children was the ability to increase in wisdom and knowledge. Now look at verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. If you see someone despising their parents, they're a fool. The Bible says it. Okay? A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Another proverb says that the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I mean, that's just life. You know, a little bit, just for a smidge of a second, because I am the father, okay? Just a smidge of a second was like, oh, what's he doing? Why doesn't he just tell me and let me take care of it? Just for a smidge of a second. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you know, this is what you're always telling everybody else. I mean, it was just a fraction, but it was like, yeah, okay, yeah. Brother Bill, I trusted you. I said, you can have my kids, and boom, that's what he's doing. You know? And so, and you know what? But most parents today, it used to be in the old days, back when Abraham Lincoln and the Mathesons were alive, it used to be that if you told the parents the kids were messing around, the parents said, I'll deal with it at home. Today, the parents come to the school and get in the face of the teachers and tell the teachers about, you know how bad that is? You know why that's bad? It's not bad because the teachers are perfect. It's bad because of what you're teaching your kids. It's real bad. It's horrible. Because you're telling that kid that they don't have authority. And that is horrible. That is an awful thing to do. And a fool despises their fathers. Look with me at verse 10 and verse 12. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. We're always teasing Harmony because she dies all the time. She always exaggerates. Oh, I died. The Bible says he that hateth reproof really will die. What does that mean? If you're constantly thumbing your nose at authority, eventually it's going to kill you. Eventually you're going to die some tragic death because of your lack of respect for authority. Verse 11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. And then verse 12 says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Young people, do not be a scorner. I'm going to show you what a scorner is. Look at chapter 1. And it's not just young people. Parents can be scorners too. Do not be a scorner. This is what a scorner is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. All right, so who's crying? This is wisdom. This is wisdom personified as a person. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. How long you can keep doing that? And then verse 23, turn you, you know what that means? Repent. Turn you at my reproof. You know, when you get reproved, the whole goal is to turn around. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You know what? If you're not saved, it's because you just haven't turned. You got to turn to the Lord and turn from what you know is wrong, what you know God has said is not going to get you to heaven, what God has said is wrong. And you got to turn to God and humble and admit yourself to yourself that you need God. And then he'll pour out his spirit unto you. And he'll make you understand his words. People that aren't saved don't have the spirit of God. They don't understand the words of God. But you have to turn. And so when God spanks, don't get angry at him, but turn to him. And then verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You just wasted all my reproof and all my counsel. He said, I've tried. I've called out to you, and you've just spit on it. You've just disrespected it. You've just wasted it. So this is what he says, verse 26. Now you got to understand that this is God personified as wisdom. And a lot of people don't know this about God, but this is God. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God would do that? there comes a day where a holy, just, and righteous God says, enough's enough. He literally will mock when they start crying. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. It's too late. There comes a point where it will be too late. There's eternity, and people in hell are crying, and it's too late for them. They'll call upon me, I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel back there on earth, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And then he ends the chapter, but whoso hearkeneth, listens unto me, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That's the promise you want, verse 33. Listen and be safe, and be appreciative. We've been studying this on Sunday morning in my class. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen to him. You don't want when you follow the shepherd. You have everything taken care of and your needs met. Correction increases with wisdom and knowledge. It increases your wisdom and knowledge. When you get corrected, it starts to help. It helps you to learn better and to have wisdom, not just knowledge. Some people have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge together. Not only that, but it brings honor. You get honored. Look at chapter 13 and chapter 19. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. You know why some people don't have a lot? They just don't listen. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. I'm not saying this is a great thing to do, but we need this. We need more of this in America than we have right now. I'm thinking of a guy in Indiana. He was a coach for the Indiana Hoosiers. There was a time where he grabbed a chair and threw it clear across the basketball court. Now, I'm not saying that we should all have coaches throw chairs across the basketball court. But you know what I'm saying? He was a successful coach because he wasn't afraid to reprove his players. I think in that sense he was throwing the chair at the ref, but that's not a good thing. But you know what? He was over the top. However, listen, we now have coaches that are afraid of what the parents are going to say if they reprove their kids. It's good for your kid to get reproved, as long as it's good reproof from someone you trust. And when it comes to certain things, you know, hey, I know that guy knows basketball. I want him to teach him and reprove him on that subject or this or whatever it might be. Listen, that's what brings wisdom, and it also brings honor. Poverty and shame are those that refuse it. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 25. Chapter 19, 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. You know, if you smite a scorner, the simple will take notice of it. Now, I'm not advocating we go around hitting people. But I'll tell you a true story. Years ago in our old church building, Miss Wilma was in the nursery like she is right now. She was in the nursery, and she had Caleb and Hannah. Or maybe it was Josh and Sam. I don't remember. It might have been Josh and Sam by then. She had two of our own kids in the nursery. And then she had some of these other kids in there. And our kids and these other kids were really doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So finally, Miss Wilma took our two kids and spanked them right there in the nursery. You know what the other kids in the nursery did? I have no idea what those two boys just did, but I don't want to do whatever they did. Now, the truth is, the other kids were probably worse than her own, but she used her own as the example. Listen, my kids saw the oldest one getting a spanking, saw the second oldest one getting, I don't like that. You're not going to believe this, Mikey. I went to a Christian school. That Christian school when I was there, they had this policy. When you got you got 10 demerits, and you had to do quite a bit of nasty stuff to get 10 demerits, you know, just dumb stuff. You got to 10 demerits, and you could erase your demerits if you did good things. You could earn, erase some. But this one boy, the poor kid, Jeremy Grimes. I don't know where Jeremy Grimes is now. He's my age. I don't know where he's at, but poor Jeremy Grimes. Jeremy Grimes, he got 10 demerits. He'd rack them up. And there were some other kids, but they had a policy. The principal would come to your classroom when you got the 10th demerit. And the principal would grab a chair and set it in the front of the classroom and then call your name, Jeremy Grimes. And Jeremy Grimes would stand at attention. He'd be trembling. Man, I was in fourth grade the first time I saw this. I was sitting there, and Jeremy Grimes stood up. I heard rumors. The kids told me. I just didn't believe it until there. And there's the principal. And you know what he had in his hand? Guess what he had in his hand? He had a spanking paddle in his hand. And Jeremy Grimes was standing there shaking. I'm telling you, I was shaking. And Jeremy Grimes marched up to the front. And Jeremy Grimes is kind of whimpering. And he said, Jeremy Grimes, you put your hands on the chair. And put his hand on the chair, and he sticked his rear end out like that. You know, and that principal spanked him 3 times. I'm going to tell you right there, I was fourth grade, and I said, I will never do that. I will never get 10 demerits. Now, sometimes the principal will be gracious. And he would even, if it was your first time, he would maybe say, I'm giving you a warning. And everybody's like, oh. You know, we'd all stand up and sing, Wonderful Grace. I mean, now you say, that's radical. Hey, you know what? America used to do that. All of America used to do that. And you know what? It was good for Jeremy Grimes. I know it was good for me. And it's just, it's just the way things should be. Now, are there bad principles? Are there bad? Yeah, of course. But I know this guy. He's still a good guy. And that wasn't the case. Here's the thing. The parents signed off that would be okay. They agreed to those rules. That was not a secret to the parents. You know, they enrolled with that understanding. Now, look, I'm trying to tell you that correction brings honor. And it also causes people to say, you know what, I'm going to learn from that. The simple pay attention and say, I don't want that to happen to me. And so I learned some things from that. Now, and by the way, if you never got 10 demerits the whole year, then they treated you to this huge ice cream party at the end of the school year. I mean, they were both balanced. And also, the refusing of correction brings destruction. I've already talked about it, but look at chapter 29. When you will not be corrected, it says in verse 1 of chapter 29, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, a horse will swell their belly and you can't get a proper saddle, you know, grip tightened on the horse. An oxen would harden his neck and you couldn't get the yoke on him the right way. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You just can't. You can't be reproved. It's just something you won't submit to. That you're going to be destroyed eventually. I mean, eventually they're going to say, you know what? I can't handle them. So then they're going to take them and give them over to the authorities, and eventually the authorities aren't going to be able to handle them. You're destroyed. Correction is grievous. I've already read this verse, chapter 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous in him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Back in chapter 1, verse 30, I read these verses too. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, you know why I spank? I don't spank because it gets good results. I'll be honest with you. Spanking does usually get good results. You know the right reason to spank? Because my kids need to know that sin has to be punished. And that a holy God said so. Now, I'll be honest, as a selfish parent, there are times when the real reason why I spanked is because I wanted them to just stop it. But the reason I needed to convey to them is, it's disrespecting and disobeying God. And I'm just carrying out God's command when I spank you. Now, thirdly, number one, God chastens and corrects people that he loves. And so count it a privilege if he spanks you. Number two, a wise person will accept it and you'll even benefit from the correction. You'll accept it because you know you need it, and you'll benefit from it. And number three, oral correction should be enough. Just the words out of your authority's mouth should be enough. For a wise person, that's all it takes. Look at chapter 17, verse 10. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. The goal as a parent is for me to see my children getting reproved, and that fixes it. So Tuesday morning, yesterday morning, I woke up, and of course I was praying for this son of mine. And by the way, don't ever bring your cell phone into the auditorium, okay? And I'm going to read this text to you, because I texted this son of mine, and here's what I said yesterday morning. Remember, you are there to be a blessing to the church and to see people saved. You aren't supposed to be there for yourself. If Andrew, that's Brother Bill's son, isn't doing what all he's normally expected to do, then you are not helping him or Brother Bill either. This is what I got back right away. Yes, sir. Period. Now, that sounds good. But what really was a blessing was underneath the yes, sir, was, and thank you. Thumbs up. It wasn't just compliance. It was compliance with a thank you, Dad. Thank you. Now, when you know you've got the attitude, when the heart attitude is right, then you can correct orally. It's when there's stubbornness and rebellion, then you, and disobedience, then you might have to correct in other means. But hopefully by the time they're old enough to drive a car, you're not needing to spank very much at all, if at all. Because think about it. If they are so disobedient that you're still spanking them when they're big enough to drive heavy equipment, that's a problem. And so then the same parents who defend these children in school now blame the school for the children not behaving correctly, or the law for, you know, law enforcement or whatever it might be. Listen, the goal should be oral correction. The goal should be speaking to them and talking to them. And I can tell you this, that this particular young man knows, wow, I was privileged to be invited to come, and this person is in my face, and I can get proud and argue, or I can just be submissive and say, you know what, there's some truth to it. I'm not focused. I'm here for myself. I'm here to have fun with the teens instead of realize why I'm here. And me as a dad, that's all I want to see. I'm not interested in compliance as much as I am the attitude. You know, it's the whole attitude that I'm looking for, not just the, and you know what, my God isn't either. You know, my God's got a whole bunch of compliant people. They're not people, but he's got a whole bunch of these creatures called angels. They're very compliant. But that doesn't give my God thrills. You know what my God gets thrilled over? Attitude. Free will. And the will is surrendered. That's what he loves. Wow. Surrendered will. Submissive. That's what he... And that's, as a parent, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for... Because you all know this. It's your job to take out the garbage. I took out the garbage. Oh, yeah, you took out the garbage. But that's not what we're looking for. Your heart didn't take out the garbage. Your attitude didn't take out the garbage. You just did it because you had to. You know what? God sees all that, whether your parents see it all or not. And what, as a dad, I'm saying, you know what? I'm not just looking for Miss Hannah to do everything I tell her to. I'm looking for her to do it because she wants to. so that I know that when I'm not around her, if I died of a heart attack tomorrow, she'd still want to do it. So lastly, and I won't spend too much time, I'll read some of these verses more than flip to all of them, but you can, it's still Proverbs, okay? So this is why, because until we get to the oral correction being the only thing we need, and some parents say, oh, I believe that. I believe that, that oral correction should be all that's necessary. So that's all I do. Well, hold on a second. If that doesn't work, then obviously you got a problem. You know, and so ideally they say, oh, I just ought to be able to talk to them. That should fix it. Well, I agree with you, but that doesn't fix it. So therefore, God gives us, as he does with us, some corporal punishment means that we have to go through. So then there's some physical punishment that's necessary. Once upon a time, I had a girl in my house. She was very young. I won't tell you her name, but she was one of my kids. I won't tell you her name, though. And she was a ditz. Was a ditz. And we were living over in Wyoming, and we were going to this church, and we were going, and so we had an early morning Sunday. And Mom, you know, would put up with this. Maybe this was part of the problem, was Mom would put up with it during the week, but Sunday, it was crucial. We had to be on time. So Mom had her in the high chair, and she had these Cheerios, and this girl would never keep her cereal in the bowl. It was always all over the entire high chair tray. And she would just, you know, and finally my wife, I mean, I could tell, this is it. She's had it. And she gets out this timer, and she sets this timer on this high chair tray. She said, and I almost said her name, but I won't because I don't want anybody to know who it is. She said, you had better have all this cereal eaten before this timer goes off, because when the timer goes off, you're going to be spanked if you don't have all this, your breakfast eaten. And I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay, well, hopefully she gets the picture now, and I'm just eating. And I'm not kidding. She went, Dad, when the timer goes off, I'm going to get a spanking. And I'm looking at her like, she's serious. You better eat. I'm going to get a spanking. Isn't that funny? And she's just, oh, you. And she's got her spoon. And she might put in a couple, and then she's just playing. And she's just doing that. And I'm just like, and for the first 2 minutes, I'm like, and then after that, I was like, forget it. And I just eaten. And the timer went off. Ding! And I looked up at her. And this is the look she had on her face. All of a sudden, the timer just went off. Yeah. And I just looked at her like, I told you. And Mom came out, and Mom even might have said, Daddy, you take care of it. I don't remember, but we took care of it. Now, here's the thing. Kids are foolish. The Bible says the rod of correction drives it far from them. Look, you can talk to them all they want. You can reason with them. It makes sense to you. It might even make sense to them, but they got a flesh, and they're just not going to listen all the time. And so they need some stinging. And God gave us a place for it to get stung. And you ask any horse trainer, they'll tell you, yeah, you gotta use some physical needs. You don't just, this horse whispering stuff, it looks good on TV, but you got to have some other things going on before you can actually be whispering all the time. Foolishness is bound. It says Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Chapter 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know why my kids are saved? They believe that authority really is right. And they believe God is their authority. Chapter 19, verse 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A lot of times we spare for the crying. Oh, they're crying. And if you do that, if you allow the crying to fool you, it won't be long before they'll be faking their cries. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, that's very serious. Chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You would think the opposite, but that's not so. If you don't discipline your children, you're really hateful to them in the long run. At the moment, in the present, they might think you're awful. But I'll tell you what, if you discipline them correctly, they love you for it. 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. It also cleanses the guilty conscience. Look at chapter 20, verse 30. I'm going to go ahead and read this to you because it's in the Bible. Chapter 20 and verse 30. You know what? We all have a guilty conscience. And to be honest with you, when we get spanked, it's such a cleansing to know we finally paid for it. We finally got it off of our account. Now, obviously, our sin in going to hell, we want Jesus to pay that, obviously. But I'm saying, those things that we know we're not right with our parents about or something else. Chapter 20, verse 30 says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the innerward parts of the belly. Can I tell you something? You're not going to believe this. I'm going to tell you, Mikey. This is a true story. One time I was with my dad and we were doing something and I did something and he finally said, when you get home, I'm going to give you a spanking. Several hours later, we finally got home, and he was with a friend of his, and so they started talking. And I'm just sitting there, and finally I said to my dad, are you going to spank me? Oh, yeah. And he got out of his seat, and he went into the room, and he spanked me. And I mean, he spanked me. And you might be like, what did you do that for? Why did you remind him? Because I knew I wanted it. I knew I needed it. I'm not saying I liked it, but something hurt that he might forget. And it didn't happen very often, but there was a time or two when either my mom or my dad used a belt or something, and I actually remember a welt, a little bit of blueness, a little bit of a bruise. Woo. But you know what? It went away. I never even thought about trying to tell some authority about it, some government official about it, to get my mom in jail or something. It never crossed my mind. But you know what? I knew that my parents cared enough to make sure I got the message. My mom and dad raised me until they got saved and got in church and until my dad got saved and they got in church. They raised me according to their psychology, Dr. Spock, where, you know, you just got to let Matthew express himself. And after a while, my mom was so sick of me expressing myself. There was a time in Traverse City, Michigan at the Cherry Creek Mall when I was there with my mom and I was giving her what for because I wanted a candy bar. She bought the candy bar, but she said, I'm going to give it to you after we get out. You got to behave if you want to get this candy bar. Well, I wasn't behaving. I was just being a complete ding-a-ling. And we had this one of those great big station wagons, Chevy Caprice station wagon. I was way in the back. She's way in the front driving. And I'm just giving her what for, Jada. And I look at her in from the back seat, way back there. You guys remember those little station wagons? I'm in the back. I want my candy bar. You didn't give me my candy bar. And she had it. Now, I'm not saying, just like I was saying about the coach throwing the chair across her, I'm not saying this is exactly what you need to do, but desperate means, you know, desperate measures. My mom looked in the rearview mirror at me, and she held up the candy bar, and she said, you see this candy bar?
Yeah, that's mine.
It wasn't mine. She bought it. I certainly didn't earn it. She said, you see this candy bar?
Yeah.
She rolled down the window. And then she said, when we get home, you're getting it. We got home, and she marched me up to the room. She had my ear turned around going the other way. We went up to the room, and she laid into me, and I was on the floor rubbing my hot rear end on the floor, and I was mad. So she left the room. I was so mad, I scooted over to the door, and I started kicking the door while I was rubbing my rear on the floor. All of a sudden, the door busted open, and round two started. Oh! That time, I just left it alone. She wins. I cry at Uncle. Listen, that shouldn't have, that kind of scene never happened at our house too very often because I learned how to nip it in the bud faster than that. I grew up and I knew all the games and the tricks, or most of them. And I'm just telling you that the blueness of the wound, I'm thankful for those things. At the time, I certainly didn't say, Lord, that was a great one. Great spanking. I never thought that way. But I know now it was a blessing. It's a proper reward for foolish behavior. Chapter 19, verse 29 says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. 26:3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. And it also warns the observers, as we talked about before, when a scorner is punished, chapter 21:11, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. We would go to Walmart when Caleb was in, 4 years old. We go into Walmart, and there'd be this kid on the floor kicking and screaming and throwing an utter fit over a candy bar, probably, or a toy. And I'd say to Caleb, you see that? And he'd look at that. I mean, he was horrified. And I said, isn't that silly? Isn't that sad? I said, do you ever want to be like that on the floor? I said, that's because we spank you so that you won't ever end up like that, looking like that. It helps to teach a lesson. As again, chapter 19, 21, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. All right. Now, here's the last thing. I'm almost done. Sometimes correcting others, it requires some skill and discretion, because the Bible says in chapter 9, verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man giveth himself a blot. Verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. I've had to learn the hard way that not everybody is wise. Not everybody receives it. Sometimes they're just scorners, and you try to reprove them, and it just backfires on you. They're already so bent to their destruction. That's sad, okay? Listen, don't get there. Don't get there. I love the fact that we have some youngins in here that are still, there's still time, but don't get there. There's older ones. They're scorners. They're just hard. And the more you try to reprove, don't be like that. Hollywood and TV says it's cool. Other kids say it's cool. It's not cool. So it says this in the Bible. It says in chapter 26, verse 4 and 5. Normally, it's really unwise to correct a fool. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. Just let it go. But then the next verse, verse 5, says the opposite. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There's times where you just have to put them in their place and say, hey, look, set them straight. Hey, you're a fool, and I got to tell you, you can't just go on teaching people this stuff. But the ultimate message here is that when they get to a point where they're hard, they're just going to have to learn the lesson the hard way. I love the story of the guy who says, when I was growing up, I was so mad at my mom and dad telling me what to do. I was wanting to get out of the house, so I joined the Marines. I love that story, because his God-given parental authority wasn't getting the job done, so God allowed him to be so stupid he went and joined the Marines. He found out about authority. So when you're a fool, verbal correction isn't enough. Look at chapter 29, verse 19. Chapter 29, 19. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. What does that mean? A son is corrected by words. But if it's just a servant, for instance, my son, thankfully, was corrected by words. I'm thankful. Okay? But if his heart attitude was, I'm just doing this because I have to, then he's a servant. He's just a slave. As soon as I get to be 18, I check out. A servant will not be corrected by words. You got to beat a servant because he's not happy. He's not going to do it for the right reason. Even if he understands, he's rebellious. He just thinks that he's not getting a fair shake, and he's mad, and he's rebellious inside. A servant won't be corrected by words. A son should be. I think that's what that means in that verse there. For though he understand, he will not answer. Even if he knows what's right, he's not going to agree to it or acknowledge it. Young people, don't ever get there. Be a son. Be a child that listens. And then lastly, proper correction builds and strengthens relationships. Look at these verses, 28, 23. We're almost done. I got just three places to go. 28, 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with a tongue. There'll be someone in your life, if you stand for right, that will come to you and say, thank you for just telling me like it is. Chapter 27, verse 5 and 6 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We got a lot of that going on in American education. We're just telling them what they want to hear. We're just passing them through the grades and they're not even learning anything. But a wound from a real friend says, you're not educated like you need to be. I'm giving you a C minus or a D. And they might not like that. And it might cause them to have to step back a grade or something. But you know, it's better than graduating an uneducated person. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then 25:12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. I don't think Treg's here yet. He's still probably out there getting his hand fixed. Let's say that 10 years from now, Harmony decides to obey God. And because she's obeying God, she obeys Treg. And someone says, wow, look at how well Harmony's doing. Wow, look at that. That is so... And they praise and they admire where Harmony's at. And they can't help but notice the jewel that made it all possible. The obedient ear was necessary, but then they noticed the jewel, and the jewel was a mean old dad that made her do stuff she didn't want to do. That's what that verse is saying. As an earring of gold on an obedient ear. And it takes you both. You both got to do your jobs. Mom and dad's got a job to do. And the kids got a job to do. And y'all got to do your job. And when grandma and grandpa don't get in the way either. Somebody said the reason why kids and grandparents get along so well is they have a common enemy. But it's not right. And I made sure as a parent, I let my parents know, hey, I know you like them and you don't like me as much as you like them, but don't forget what the Bible says. And we obey God and we live the example. And so that all came from that incident Monday night where I had to practice what I preach. And my son had to practice what he knows that he's supposed to do. And it's just supposed to be. You say, well, I think Brother Bill should have waited till everybody was gone before he chewed him out in front of everybody. No, you know what? Brother Bill is in charge. That's his ministry. That's what we're just allowing ourselves. That's just a rebellious spirit that says, well, I think you could have done it better. Well, I think that teacher could have done it better. That has nothing to do with it. That's just our excuse to try to excuse ourselves out of this or that or the other. Let's learn to take correction. Our Father loves us. He wants us to be well taken care of, but that involves spankings. It does. Let's pray.